Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
That's awesome. Awesome.
That's awesome.
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 Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, awesome.
That's awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Hello, gentlemen.
Here we are, my friends.
Stevie B.
Bradford.
Jeremy
Anderson.
R.
J.R.
J.R. I was going to say J.R. I like Jeremy R. doesn't have as much of a good ring to it. So we're in Kansas City?
We're in Kansas City, yes.
We are in a Residence Inn, sitting around the dining room table of our Residence Inn in Kansas City.
Amazing.
We all still have a little bit of morning voice, which is kind of hot.
It is a little bit.
It's like, ooh, yeah.
What'd you say, bro?
Oh, we sound like Michael Easton.
I've been working on that.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Bradford.
Hey, don't touch me.
Yeah.
Don't touch me.
So we've had a really fun week. We've
had an amazing week.
We've had
an
amazing week. I mean, we've been to cities that we haven't been to yet.
I know. It's been so cool to be able to play all these clubs.
Yes.
You know, we started in... this trip has been amazing because the venues are getting bigger.
Yes.
Which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
San Fran.
Yeah.
We had the Move Clubs, which is so cool.
Yeah.
We started up in San Fran, and I met you up there, and Kira, and,
yeah,
and
so
you guys.
Jeremy didn't join us until a couple days later, so... Kira, my wife, came down to San Francisco with us, so she and I drove down and met Steve there, and it was weird. The first part of the week was like I was commuting from home,
yeah,
but right. You were on tour.
Yeah, I was already in tour mode.
You were away from home, but I had, you know, we went back to Sacramento Saturday night, and my kids were there, and
I know
and
it was
we,
amazing.
You stayed in my house, and that
it was
cool.
Amazing neighborhood, amazing house. Jeremy would have loved it.
Yeah,
I know.
You would have loved it, dude. The gym, the pool, the jacuzzi. It was amazing.
My kids were so excited to see you.
They were awesome, dude.
They were so awesome. I come down Sunday morning, and Steve's at the dining room table. Finola's to his right coloring.
Yeah, Juna colored.
Juna had just poured herself some Cheerios. She was sitting at the bar, and I just come down, and it was just like regular life in my house with Steve and my children.
I know. It was amazing, dude.
It was amazing.
I felt like a nanny. It was amazing. I'll give you guys a little break. You go do what you need to do. I'll come watch your kids. And then we did Sacramento, which was amazing.
We love that club.
That's an amazing room.
Oh,
you know, isn't it weird how, like, the energy in rooms is different?
Yeah.
Right? It's just, I know it has to do with the people, obviously, but the venues, I don't know, man. It's hard to explain. But the Punchline in Sacramento, for some reason...
Yeah.
Is an amazing room.
Right. It's not the most, like, new and shiniest room.
No, but it's set up.
But it feels so... It's not deep. It's really wide.
Yeah.
So no matter where you're sitting, you're close to the stage.
Yes, yes.
So everything... You can do... Every little thing we do is picked up.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to project to the back of the house like you do in some of the other clubs where you feel like... Oh,
well, Columbus, right?
Where there's a balcony and there's someone in the back of the balcony that you want to make sure... is getting what you're putting out there.
Right, like Irvine, the improv at Irvine.
Yeah, that
was like the complete opposite.
Totally, it's like...
Right? It's just shoebox turned the other way.
That's exactly the metaphor I was going to use. Look at that.
Look, we're twins.
Yeah, but you're right.
Twinsies.
Sacramento is a shoebox...
Jeremy.
Flattened out, yeah. Oh, so anyway.
He's tired of us for this trip.
I know, he is. I know.
I'm not tired of you guys. I love you guys. I wouldn't come if I didn't
love it. The Transporter Ross.
Love it.
He's a mainstay. When people come, they want to see the Transporter.
Well, and this year, what was it, Chicago, we had two people from the same group. You know, there was two ladies that came, both wearing Transporter shirts.
Yes.
Demanded they get a shirt with the Transporter. And I think...
You mean a photo.
What did I say?
A shirt.
A photo, yes. Yeah. And yes. I think, did you retweet it, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if you can certainly find it on Steve's Twitter. And you can see Jeremy looking pretty smug and happy.
Pretty.
He's like, it's about time.
I'm getting the due I deserve.
Okay, listen. You were on a podcast with us before. You have to talk.
I'm talking.
Okay,
I'm
you can't talking. Do a little podcast voice.
I
know you go. It's like, mumble. Don't mumble, bro. Just Just talk.
Enunciate.
He's nervous.
Well, first of all, let's talk about how I heard we're doing a little video this time.
Yeah, we
and
have.
So I put a shirt on. I tried to do a little ironing real quick and got water all over it right as I came
Well,
up,
you know, the irons at these hotels that we're in always hit or miss, dude.
That's true.
Well, they've been dropped so many times.
I know.
Yeah. Half of them are broken.
It's the worst.
So
the
I'm
worst.
Just a little wet.
So, okay, calm down.
Calm down.
At the
I know
table.
It's my voice. Hello.
So then we flew Sunday night to Chicago. Took a red eye.
Are you making notes?
I'm just. I don't know
what are we. What are you? What are we doing here? Bookkeeping.
It feels nice to have a pencil in your pen. What you,
that's how he is, man.
Well, this thing. This thing says space for your ideas, and if I have some ideas, I want to have a pen ready so those ideas can take up the space.
Sure. So, let's just talk for a second about how the show is different.
Our show,
Stone Cold. See, it's still funny to say it's a show because because I know people like last night had no idea. Well, every night have no idea
what they're getting into,
what they're coming to see,
right?
Like no clue.
Well, the fun thing is, and we've been, you know, we always like to get an idea of who's seen us before and who's maybe meeting us for the first time. And I would say last night in Kansas City, 90% had never met us before.
Probably.
Yeah.
At least.
And so they truly don't know what they're getting into.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It's so fun.
You know, some of these clubs that we've played over and over again, the people know. And
now they do.
And that's fun because then they're totally relaxed into the format.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can tell when it's a new crowd, they're like, oh, wait. And so there's like a hint of trepidation at the beginning. Just a hint.
They're like, what is this guy doing?
Right. But then they're like, oh, we get it. This is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And just resigned to the fact, okay, I don't know what to expect, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to hurt me.
They're laughing. They're smiling. This isn't normal. These aren't the guys I see on TV.
Right. So this is
weird.
I'm going to be okay.
You're singing. I'm laughing. The world is upside down tonight.
Yeah. Well, this week, it's actually, for me, this week,
point of view.
Actually, it seemed more like a show because I know, you know, during Port Chuck, if I'm not out there, I can kind of get an idea where the songs are. Okay, and you know, a few more songs, they're going to be wrapping it up. And it was kind of the same thing with you guys initially when you guys started doing this, as you were piecing it together, you know, making it a show, making it different.
Yeah.
It flowed. But not like it is now.
Sure.
So almost now you can, there's a start, and even when I'm in the back getting something, I can all go, okay, they're getting closer to wrapping this up.
Sure.
And my point is because it flows so well, and it's actually like watching a show now, that I think the fans are starting to see, you know, they're actually coming and sitting down and watching something, almost like going to the theater, it's just so smooth now.
Yeah,
and the way you guys are talking on stage, you almost seem like it's scripted but not scripted. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, you're worried like, oh God, are they gonna know what to say next? Like there's something where it feels
no dead space. I mean, all your punchlines. I mean, I can watch these people laugh and they'll start laughing. There's no dead air. I mean, that lady in the front row last night, she would kept going.
she had a full-on siren.
Dude, that hurt my ears.
Well, and she knew too. I appreciated that about her. She knew she has a gift. She has a gift.
Well, I had to shut the gift down. I said, please, God, don't do this the whole show, ma'am. My left eardrum is bleeding.
You should have seen that lady at our table every time she'd do it.
Oh, gosh. It was the loud. Fringe. I don't even know how you get that sound. Like, how do you even know that you have that sound in you?
Yeah.
It was so loud.
I mean, it was impressive.
But it's amazing. Because I know if you have to call your kids, you'd scream like that. They're coming from the neighborhoods.
Right?
Yeah. But it's cool because the framework of the show now, we have a framework.
Yeah.
But no show still is the same.
Right.
Because the second half is almost a lot of improv.
Well, it's structured, but it's structured play.
Yeah, right. Because you have questions and you always have new stuff that pops up, funny bits that come out of those that we can use for other shows.
Yeah.
So it's really such a interesting
so much fun for us. Like, so, you know, I always start the show with anywhere between 15 to 20 minutes yeah. of music and stories and light
jokes,
comedy jokes,
yeah.
I guess
yeah,
you would. Yeah. And sometimes I bring props. Sometimes I'll sing a song just for the fun of singing it. Sometimes I'll change the words and make it funny. Like I always like to have a different opening whenever we play a new
city.
I'll never do the same opening twice in the same city.
Right. Yeah.
And then Steve comes out and does 25, 30 minutes.
Just jokes,
stories
about the show and life, and it's just so fun, man.
And you have stories that you've told at certain places that you won't say again, or like we have so much stuff that we can pull from that we try whenever we're returning to the same city to do something different. Some things overlap, but then I come back out and we have a bit that we do that changes. It's kind of a recurring bit now,
but it changes
every day.
It changes every time.
It's a bit that we know we're going to do, but within that bit there's some
new things.
And there's just play. So
totally.
And we allow ourselves to have a new experience each time we do it. Which is fun.
That was fun, dude.
And then we do questions for like 10, 15
the
minutes.
The best was something yesterday. You said something about, I'm trying to have Jason's butt or something. And I go, well, Spinelli, there's been a robbery with his butt or something. Remember? And I said, we need to get the PCPD to find Spinelli's butt.
Yeah, well.
Sorry. It's lost and found.
And then.
It's amazing.
I know that. The bit this time, I think we were playing with it, and I think we found something we're going to stick with for a bit.
Yeah. And then, because last night, Jeremy wouldn't know, but I was telling you.
Yeah.
After the first 5 minutes on stage, mind went completely blank.
Like when you first came out?
Yeah, like blank. Like I didn't know what I was doing.
Oh, crap, I got to stand here for 25 minutes.
I was like,
and I have
wait
no
a
idea
minute,
what,
what am I supposed to go and do next in my head? And I totally forgot.
I couldn't tell.
But the interesting thing is what we were talking about, when you have kind of your bits sectioned off.
Sure.
I knew I could go to one.
Right. And then you can
do it. And then while I'm doing that bit, figure out how do I get back into.
You know that one so well that your mind can wander a bit while you're doing
it's it. It's the weirdest thing, man.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. But I definitely started sweating immediately.
Oh, dude, that's the
I was like.
Tell.
I'm like, oh no, I'm dead. I'm a dead man.
Oh.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right.
I've panicked.
Go straight to Stone Cold when you panic.
Yeah, totally. Just stare at people first.
Just
stare at people uncomfortably for 4 minutes. What is he doing? It's amazing. So where do we go Monday?
What do you mean?
Oh, we drove. Oh.
Oh, where did we go?
So we
took a red eye from Sacramento.
Red eyes are the worst.
But it was okay. We could sit next to each other. The
seat
reclined.
Yeah, we did.
We got a little bit of sleep.
Yeah.
I think we got a little bit of sleep.
Yeah, it was weird sleep, yeah.
Yeah, but so we got to Chicago at 4:45 a.m. Central Time.
Yes, it was very, it was still dark.
It was still dark.
And snowy.
It was snowing, that's right. It was snowing. A lot of flights into Chicago were canceled or delayed.
Well, Jeremy's was.
Yeah,
that's the story of my life.
Dude, every time we go on the
every
road,
time.
This guy's...
I know, poor guy.
This guy's flight gets delayed.
Every time. It's worth it.
So we had planned to rent an SUV, because there's only three of us. We didn't have big boxes of T-shirts and sweatshirts like we tried to
do. Wait a second. I think you're telling the truth. We tried to rent an SUV.
We did. You weren't there. We weren't there.
No, you did try.
All I've ridden in is vans.
Minivans.
We tried. I reserved. I specifically thought I reserved an SUV. Shut up. An SUV. So then we go. We rented from Hertz, and we go. And
it's true.
And it's true. They don't have assigned cars anymore. They just have assigned sections.
If you're a gold member, you just walk and pick whatever car you want.
A car.
Oh, okay.
And it's whatever's available. So if it's just small cars available, that's what you get. If big ones, that's what you
get.
And
then if you want something bigger, you can upgrade. But when we're renting a car for a week, so we were trying to be mindful of that. And so I was looking for the SUV that I had, because I wanted something a little sleeker than we had last time, because I figured, we don't need as much space. We're going to be driving a lot. Something a little more, fuel efficient, whatever. That Toyota Sienna just started staring at us. It's a navy blue one. It's super nice.
It's very nice. But every time we get these vans, dude, maintenance is always required.
Yeah, everyone.
You know, the maintenance light's always on. I'm like, I think something's going to happen.
Yeah, like literally 30 miles into driving from the Chicago airport to Grand Rapids on Monday, bing, maintenance required. And I'm like, hey, we got about 1,000 miles left.
Yeah.
No, probably 15 to 2,000 miles.
At least.
To drive in this van.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't crap out on us.
I know.
Yeah.
It was feeling a little weird at one point when I was driving. I'm like, we're just going to have to get an Uber. if this thing.
Here we are in central Iowa. We need an Uber to Kansas City, please.
Yeah. So we flew to Chicago. Then we drove to
Grand Rapids show that night.
Yes.
And that was fun. We'd never been to Grand Rapids. What a cool little town.
Amazing. It was a cool town.
I mean, it's a city.
Jeremy met us up there. That's where his peoples are from.
I was born in Lansing.
Oh, yeah. That's right in the center of the hand.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was fun.
It was great,
beautiful coffee shops. And
yeah, it was
the
cool.
building that we were in was an older building that it looked like it had been remodeled and become this center of activity. And and that was fun to meet some Michiganites.
You can try.
Okay. You were born there, isn't
it? I was. Oh, Michiganders.
Michiganders.
Okay. Is that a good one? Did you make that up?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Just like you made up, you were looking for an SUV.
This dude's looking for the cheapest ass car he could buy.
Oh.
Always.
Oh,
we're
going to
be in like a Ford Focus, all three of us with 70 bags.
I know. That'd be
a freaking dead goat on the roof just going across the country.
Got to eat.
Guys got to eat, man.
We had barbecue last night.
Yeah, we did.
We had that goat last night.
Oh, my gosh. We got all the goats.
Oh,
we ate
man.
All the goats.
Don't say goats. Maurice is going to be very upset.
Oh, gosh. That's right.
He's a goat farmer now. He's retired.
He's
retired from daytime. Now he hurts.
I've seen his goat.
Yes, those goats are actually pretty cool.
Singing goats.
They sing?
I think.
He's going to go on the road. He's going to open for us.
He's going to make those goats. Those goats are becoming Instagram influencers.
Oh, dude, 100% they are. Isn't it amazing? Dude, he'll be able to roll up.
Yeah.
He'll be able to roll up and just have a little goat petting zoo. In places and see Sunny.
That's amazing.
Wouldn't it be amazing?
It would work.
It would work. People would actually pay to see his goats, and he could just sing to his goats.
Right.
That's amazing.
It's not a euphemism. Come pet Sunny's goats. Not a euphemism. No.
Don't do it. Use it the goat.
Oh, man. So Dr. Grins in Grand Rapids was really
Dr.
fun.
Giggles, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. We kept thinking it was called Dr.
I kept calling it Dr.
Yeah,
Giggles.
I was like, wait a second. I thought it was Grins, too. Okay.
I kept calling it Dr. Giggles, and he's like, I think that's a horror movie.
Like from, like, 1988.
That sounds like a horror movie, doesn't it?
It is.
It is. It's from the guy. It's with the guy from L.A. Law, and, oh, man. And we couldn't get it out of our head, and... Thankfully, we didn't say it to anybody. In our heads, it was Dr. Giggles.
Yes, for
and
sure.
We loved it. We loved Dr.
We
Giggles.
We loved Dr. Giggles. It was great. And great
then,
club.
Yeah, great club. And then Tuesday, we drove down to Columbus. And that was, I loved, you felt so at home there.
Oh, man. As soon as we just crossed the state line, dude, it feels so good to be back home where I grew up. I mean, even though I didn't grow up in Columbus, I've been to Columbus a lot. But just being in Ohio and just makes me feel amazing. And where we played was one of the nicest clubs that we've ever played at.
Yeah, I didn't know. I did.
Was it, Jeremy?
I mean,
it was stunning.
Just even being up there in the front, we're looking out with the
the
balcony, all the heads up there on the balcony.
It was amazing.
All the way to
that
the
was a sold out show, like 400 people.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Balcony. It was amazing.
It was the Funny Bone, right? The Funny Bone in Columbus?
It was a Funny Bone, yes.
Yeah, and it was in this cool little neighborhood where, but I say on the way to Columbus, I kind of had I experienced Chick-fil-A nuggets.
Yes, you did.
That was 60 of them.
Yeah. We stopped to get gas, and it was just that part of the day where I think it was it between lunch and dinner or something? We just hadn't really eaten, and there was a Chick-fil-A there, and I just kind of was like, hey, I don't go to this very often. And you guys started talking about these nuggets. And I feel like I got to try this. And so we pull up. We pull up to this. Did we do the drive-thru? We did.
Yeah, we did.
We did the drive-thru. Pull up to the drive-thru. And, you know, they're standing out there with their remote pads, and these are the nicest people I've ever met.
It's their pleasure.
And then she steered us into 2 30-packs of nuggets?
2 30-packs, yeah.
Instead of 3 14-packs or
yes,
something like
amazing.
That? She's just like, well, we can do 30-pack. And then, so then we're like, this is great. This is great. I want a sweet tea, too. Also their pleasure. And so then we pull up to the window, and this woman puts all her elbows out the window, looks at me, and goes, well, here's everything. Your hot, fresh nuggets are just coming up. So why don't you pull around? We'll have someone walk out those hot, fresh nuggets to you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Put your blinkers on.
Put your blinkers on.
I wasn't sure what was happening. I wasn't sure if I was being propositioned.
Well, her head was in the window.
She was in my face with this smile that was just
amazing.
Almost, I mean, it was like so pleased. Like she was so pleased to be giving me hot, fresh nuggets that it almost felt insincere because it was so much.
Right.
Oh, yeah. But I think she was sincere.
She was. Yeah.
She was. I don't get uncomfortable that often. Like people have, you have to do a lot to make me uncomfortable. I love human contact and proximity. I don't mind any of that. Even when Shiloh gets too close to me, it's okay.
No, it is not. That is not okay at all.
But she got in my face with this grin, like a Cheshire Cat grin, talking about hot, fresh nuggets. And I just about lost it.
I know. You're like, this is amazing.
This is amazing and creepy and lovely, and I want it.
All Chick-fil-A's are
nice. And you got a free breakfast sandwich.
Oh,
because
crap.
We waited for
yes, yeah, because they weren't ready, so they
minutes.
Gave us a coupon.
I know.
Now
it's
I don't
amazing.
Know where that coupon is.
It's in the trash somewhere.
But boy, yep. Thank you guys for being there for that.
There
experience.
You go.
I mean, so that and then we played.
And
Columbus.
then we rolled into Columbus, and it was just. So awesome, man. So awesome.
Steve,
we stayed right by the venue.
Yeah, we could walk there.
Walk.
Yeah.
It was outdoor, kind of outdoor mall.
Yeah.
All these kind of little weird, not weird, but like outdoor city malls pop up, right?
Yeah.
It's like five blocks by five blocks of stores and,
right.
You know, that was inside, but it was so much fun.
Yeah. And you got to do I don't think I've ever experienced the OHIO thing.
Yes.
In real life?
It's amazing.
So many times?
It doesn't stop,
in
bro.
One evening?
OH, if you start it, it's all night long.
Oh, man.
And then poor Bradford, he tries to go, BR. And I'm like, BR, what are you doing, dude?
That's what I mean.
BR. And he wants people to go, AD. I'm like, you're so stupid, dude. No one is ever going to do that, first of all. And if they do, they're out. B-R.
Get out.
Hey, dude.
No. It was amazing that he thought of that. Such an egomaniac. He's on stage. How can I make him take the O-H away from Ohio and make it about Brad? I sounded like a goat right
Brad,
there, did I?
Yes.
Brad. That's what I'm going to do from now on at shows. And here's Bradford Anderson. The goat man. Here comes the goat man, Brad. Stupid.
Amazing.
We're delirious, by the way.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by FabFitFun, a seasonal subscription box with full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products.
And I will tell you, these boxes are a guaranteed pick-me-up every season. Who doesn't like gifts at their door? And since the products are full size, they may even last you to the next box.
Each box contains amazing products from known brands like Kate Somerville, Dr. Brandt, Anthropologie, and more.
It retails for $49.99, but always has a value of over $200, which is awesome.
It's a steal. So check out FabFitFun.com and use the code AWESOME10 so you can save $10 off your first box, making it only $39.99. Again, that's FabFitFun.com, and use the code AWESOME10. You know you want to.
Oh, and what a great show.
Great show.
So much fun. And
we're going back there
for sure. Going back
and we're
going
to go during a Buckeye game, sir.
Oh, my gosh. In the horseshoe?
Oh, my.
In the horseshoe?
You'll never see anything like it. It's amazing.
I love going to NYU, but there's something about going to like a big... I could, you know what I almost did? I almost went to University of Michigan.
Ugh.
I know.
What?
I know. You, we would have never been friends.
Yes, we would have.
But, yeah, so Columbus was...
Jeremy and I are friends. He's from Michigan.
You got to remember that.
Oh, that's right.
Well, except for all the times years ago when you used to want to smash my cell phone.
Oh, that's stupid.
Because I put a Michigan background on it.
A screensaver? I'm like, dude, that thing, I'm going to...
And he was serious, too. Like, it was I literally really did fear my phone. Like, I knew,
feared it.
Normally I can be like, he's just joking. But those times, you're probably...
Dude, it's a big rivalry. Listen, man, it's amazing rivalry to be a part of.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's so cool, because there were some people from Michigan at the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I said, isn't it just great, though, to have a rivalry?
Yes.
You know, because you get a lot of split families, too, in Ohio where...
Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan married Ohio State, you know, and it's just so awesome. Love it.
Yeah, and then we drove to Chicago the next day.
Chicago.
Rosemont out by O'Hare. And we played Zanies. That's the third time. I think next...
Was this show, yeah. Next, or not with the same show, but Stone Cold and Jack.
Besides
yeah.
Rockwell's, I think Zanies the club we've played the most.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. We love it there. It's a
great room.
It's a great
room. Cozy.
Yeah, it is cozy, and it's so dark.
Yes, it is.
So that it feels like... You're going out for a crazy night almost.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like there's anonymity. You can have the reaction you want to have as an audience member without feeling like you're being seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I like that they don't keep the house lights up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean the fact that it's a show and the house lights are down, but Zany's is super dark.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, when you're in the crowd, I don't know if you're gonna disappear or not, and I can't ever see you.
Well, it's funny, when I go out for a few questions and it is funny, you know, I'll talk and Steve's looking in the opposite direction because he can't see me. I'm not sure if you like that or if you hate that, but
I don't mind it because I see you enough. I don't mind it. We've driven together a lot this week.
Yeah.
Man.
I like it. He's a very conservative driver, which is good.
He's a good driver.
He's a cautious driver.
Well, he always knows where he's going.
He does.
Do a couple U-turns.
Yeah, I know.
That's Google Maps,
my
bro.
My phone just glitched.
That's Google Maps. That's Google Maps, dude.
How do you work this newfangled technology?
But I make up time.
It's true.
I go pedal to the metal in the minivan.
Yeah, riding in the back seat when Steve's driving feels a little like we're like you're kind of in a constant fishtail, like in the back seat.
Yeah, yesterday to the club, I have to admit I took a few turns a little hairy. And if the doors were open to the minivan, Bradford would have been tumbling down the street. There goes Brad. Well, Jeremy's a nurse, so you'd be okay.
We'd
tape you up.
I can patch you up.
We'd patch you up, dude. You put your like put some gauze on your head, like you go out there.
Right,
it'd be amazing.
Patient 7.
Patient 7, dude. That's got to be a bit now. That is amazing. Patient 7. That's awesome. That is amazing, dude. That's it. From now on, I go. Patient 6. We're starting to learn who patients 1 through 5 are.
Yeah.
Because Anna.
Was she a patient?
Patient 1.
Oh, no
and her, I think her sister, her twin, was patient 2.
Oh, wow.
I might be wrong, but, you know, from what I
glean really, on... Wow, this is amazing. This is new to me.
This is new to you, right?
Great. So this is good stuff.
So we're figuring out who the patients are, but now I can say, and now here's patient 7, and you come out just like a mummy. Just like
from the drive.
That's awesome.
Walking Dead.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, and then... Chicago is great as always. You know, it's always fun because we have to, since we played there a few times, we always have to. I was a little nervous before that show because I was doing something a little different. I was combining.
Chicago?
I was combining a couple of my things because I didn't want to repeat what I'd done there.
Yeah.
And so that was fun. But then we had the longest drive between Chicago and Kansas City yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than staying in Chicago, we drove for a couple hours after the show on Wednesday night to make the drive easier Thursday. So we drove from Chicago, so through Western Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and we just picked a spot in the map earlier in the day. We're like, hey, let's get to this spot. And so we did, and it was this tiny town called Rock Falls, Illinois, like just close to the the Iowa border.
Mm-hmm.
We found this beautiful Holiday Inn Express, like...
Right on the river.
I mean, it was a beautiful, like, and it was just fascinating. It was one of those towns that, like, you know, we get so, we're so kind of lucky to be, travel the country in the way we do and see places that we wouldn't see otherwise.
Never, you'd
right?
Never
like,
see
I, don't know how else I'd end up in Rock Falls, Illinois, but like it's, and there was a Dunkin' Donuts there. So it is kind of
a
my.
Nice Dunkin' Donuts.
Nice Dunkin'
Brand new.
Brand new.
Brand new. In a town that wasn't.
Brand new Holiday Inn Express, brand new Dunkin' Donuts. I yeah. mean, what else do you need?
Well,
Starbucks.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Well, good luck.
Good luck, yeah.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, and then we drove through Iowa.
Yes.
Which was, because I've never really been through yeah. Iowa.
Yeah. It's.
I've been to a lot of states. It's a beautiful state.
It really is.
It really was.
Well, because Illinois is flat, yeah. and then you start getting these like hills, but that are still farms.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know,
we did.
I wanted to stop and see Bachelor Chris. But
who?
Bachelor Chris, he's the Iowa farmer. He works with Linda.
Oh.
Yeah. But I didn't know where to
is
stop.
Is that what he's known as, Bachelor Chris? If I can speak,
Chris,
that'd
be Chris
awesome.
The farmer? I think they, yeah, he's
the
investor
in
FarmersOnly.com now.
Was he the recent Bachelor guy?
Three, 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So real current. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy goes, I don't watch The Bachelor. I can't.
That's cool. It's
okay. How funny, Pastor Chris. Just
Bradford needs to watch The Bachelor.
Yeah. Got to learn some tips to,
that's
woo,
right.
to woo my wife.
That's right.
Gotta
that's
keep,
right.
Got to keep it alive.
That's right. Keep right. it real.
Keep it alive and fresh.
So then last night was amazing.
Yeah. We drove through Iowa around Des Moines and then down to KC. Our good buddy Jim Warren brought us some delicious barbecue from Gates.
Gates. Gates Barbecue, amazing ribs.
It
saved our lives before the show.
It did, and it was a real struggle though know how much to eat.
Correct, because usually you don't want like to have a you know eat a lot before the show. You're out there burning calories and whatever.
Right, you want to be letting your feet a little bit. You don't want to be like
totally.
But
so that freaking barbecue came in, dude. I'm like, I gotta eat. Poor Jeremy's out working, and I'm like, I gotta eat. And
it was,
those ribs were so good.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So, and the club was amazing, but so you guys might know that when we go on tour, we try to find like Dave and Buster's to stop by.
Because we're all 12 years old.
It's true.
It's okay.
We do.
And last night, we found an amazing place. Well, we didn't find it. It just was there. It was right next to the club. It was this, how would you describe
this
it?
This was like Christmas Day, okay?
I mean...
This was because you know it was a long day, and then we had a lot of VIPs.
Yeah.
Right, it took an hour and a half to get through everybody, which is fine because
awesome,
we love
man.
Meeting people. And then next door is this thing called Draftcade.
Draftcade,
right? So it's 50 beers on draft, and then it's all arcade games from the 80s.
Right. Oh,
I mean,
it was like
you know. Then they had the basketball and the skee ball and that. But,
right.
But
it's like Mecca.
It was closed.
Right.
They're like, yeah, now no one comes out on Thursdays, the you know weekends. They're open till 1.
Right.
And the manager Travis was awesome. And I go, oh man, he goes, oh we'll open it up for you guys. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, come on. He goes and turns all the games on.
Oh.
He goes, you don't need any, just press the button, you guys can play for as long as you want. I'm like, oh my gosh.
It was
Hallelujah.
Yes.
It was amazing, dude.
Because normally what happens when we go to a Dave and Buster's, we get there right at the end when they're about to close.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like a countdown. And
I know. It's just a bummer every time.
It's a bummer every time. Yeah. And this was, there was nothing bummerish about it.
No, it was amazing.
It was amazing.
Yes. Great time in Kansas City.
Great time in Kansas
Whoop.
City.
We'll be back here for sure.
Yeah. So we're gonna take some questions now, and we got our first question. I don't think we're gonna do a mean tweet this week. We're gonna keep it all positive.
Okay, let's keep it positive.
Right. Okay. So we have a question from Catherine. My best friend and I were at your San Francisco show and loved it. Thank you so much for coming, Catherine and friend.
Yes.
Her question is: when GH is preempted due to breaking news, do actors get an extra day off at some point to let the shows that air catch up? So that's a very interesting question. I don't think this show ever is sad about getting ahead more.
No, they're always trying to get ahead further.
Right.
Right. Like Days of Our Lives, for example, is ahead almost 6 months.
That's crazy.
When Brandon started working on the show, he goes,
like, no, it was like November.
It was like October. He goes, yeah, I don't air till April. And I'm like, what?
So weird.
Yeah. So they try to get ahead as much as they can. So they're never worried about being ahead, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be...
So we don't get a day off.
Yeah.
You know, and they end up... They preempt it, but they end up playing it usually at 2 a.m. somewhere.
Yeah.
Or, you know...
Right.
Some other time. They do air it.
They do air it.
Usually.
And, right. Yeah. And because they try not to... Do they push shows back? They do or sometimes.
I don't know, man.
Well, because sometimes it's the shows are written to be Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Right, like a Friday
yes,
show.
A different cliffhanger.
Is a Friday show.
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't.
That's an interesting question.
Thank you. Thank you.
No.
We don't need to. Oh, Catherine.
not from you, dude. Catherine.
I thought maybe the
calm
question
down.
That came out of the question.
Calm down.
Was interesting to you. Whatever. but thank you, Catherine from Half Moon Bay, and thanks for coming to our show.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so this is from Cindy Ahern. She's a third generation GH fan. She saw us in Boston years
yes.
ago. Thank you so much. I love when you guys are just cracking up and having a hard time getting your words out. I guess that's about us. So this goes out to each of you. What was one scene that you had a hard time getting through because of the giggles?
Gosh.
Yeah, I know. So the ones that I remember, I always had a really tough time. Julie Berman.
Yeah, she was funny.
And Dominic.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Those two, we had...
They, yes.
We had, and it was oh, it was with, I remember scenes in there, I forget, somebody had to say a really, it's sometimes there's a line where you just, when you read it, you're like, oh man. Either I change it or I'm going to have to like bite my lip when I say it because that's going to be the line that makes everyone go off because it's just for whatever reason. And Dominic couldn't hold it. And for whatever reason, Dominic made Julie lose it.
Yeah, he does not hold it well at all.
No, no.
At all.
Yeah.
At
so,
all.
So I don't remember the exact scene, but it was in their loft or whatever that was.
Yeah.
And it was, and everybody gets frustrated. Like, the crew gets so frustrated.
No, I don't know if the crew does. They kind of laugh the first time.
The first time.
And the second. But when you're on number five,
yeah,
then they get a little frustrated.
Right. And my, for good reason.
My scene was with, I mean, it happens a lot, dude. You know, we try to be professional, but sometimes that does not work at all.
Sometimes the harder you try, the...
And it's, yeah. So yeah. One of mine was with Dante... With Dominic, whatever the freak his name is.
Right, yeah.
With Dominic, and it was Scott Reeves.
Oh, yeah.
It was a scene in my penthouse, and I was talking to Dominic and Scott, and then Scott had to leave
right.
the scene, and the door was locked. So and it's stupid stuff like that, right? He's pulling on the door.
Right.
And it didn't open. So we're like, oh, that's funny, man. Whatever. Right. Yeah, that's funny. So then Dominic and I are looking at each other, and then we do it again. They're like, hey, props, can you unlock the door for Scott?
Right.
Right? Because apparently he couldn't figure out how to unlock it. So
union restrictions.
union
actors
rules.
Aren't
actually,
allowed to. Yeah.
Really, it is.
Well, totally, yeah.
Yeah. So we do it again. We do the scene again, and he walks over, and it doesn't open again.
Right.
So at this point, Dominic and I are starting to laugh. Like, this is a problem, right? So we're like, all right, dude, let's not do this. Don't do it, Dominic. Don't do it. So one more time. Goes over there, and the door does not open.
Come on.
And then poor Scott, he just stands there. Like, hopefully he won't be seen. And
making himself as small as possible.
Yeah, then we can finish the scene. I'm like... We see you. We see you standing there. And then that was it.
That was it.
Me
right.
and Dom died laughing. And that's where Maurice always taught me. He's like, look, if you're laughing so hard, the only thing to counteract it laughing is pain.
Right.
You gotta punch yourself or hit yourself or pinch yourself really hard.
This is Mo,
right?
Yeah.
So I said, oh, all right. So that's what I thought of immediately. So I started punching my leg.
Right.
As hard as I can in the Charlie horse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just to stop. Just,
yeah.
And Dominic's laughing more now. He's just laughing like,
right.
What's this freak doing?
Right.
Yeah, I'm punching myself out. He goes, what are you doing? I said, it stops you from laughing. He goes, punch me. And I freaking punched him as hard as I could in the leg. He goes, oh, you son of a bitch. That hurt. I said, I know it's supposed
that's
to hurt.
That's a freaking point, Dominic.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's
amazing.
That's,
so sometimes it's bad and... You know.
Yeah, sometimes it's a nice release of energy. Like, sometimes there's tension on set, and so something, when something like that happens, it's a nice release for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you can't then steer it back into professionalism, that's when people get frustrated.
Yeah, and that's where we have always have the blooper reel at Christmas that's shown, and a lot of that stuff pops up.
Yeah.
And fans always ask, how can we see it? How can we see it? And they showed it at Graceland.
That's right, they did, yeah.
And they show it, I think they'll show it at the GH convention.
Oh, at the convention, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Nice, yeah. Cool. It is funny because, like, you know, soap operas tend to be pretty serious. So the juxtaposition of very serious dialogue and then someone just, like, coming out of character and, like, swearing because they forgot a line.
Right.
It's jarring and funny, super funny way. Well, thank you for your question. We have a question from Anne. She says, are the performers of the Nurses Ball volunteers or told to be in it? And so the nurses that you see in the Nurses Ball that are not regulars, they are usually dancers and singers. Professional dancers and singers that are brought in to be nurses. So, and they're, you know, in order to be on our show, you have to, there's no volunteers allowed.
Right.
It's, the union doesn't allow that.
Yeah.
So they are professional actors and dancers and singers.
Mark Castem, right? Castem?
Yeah. Well, and he's got a relationship with a choreographer that they've used over the years.
Yeah.
And so the choreographer brings a lot of that, the same people.
Right.
And are the people watching the performances seeing it for the first time? And do they know what the performers are going to perform before it airs or before it's taped, I think. When you're an audience member in the Nurses Ball and you haven't asked around.
Sure.
Sometimes you're like, oh, who's singing today?
Oh, this is cool.
Oh, great. Yeah. Maura's going to sing today. What's she singing?
Awesome.
Yeah. And so that's really fun, you know, and so especially the first time the person sings it.
Yeah.
All of us. All of us who are their friends and who are, you know, because it's, you know. Singing in front of your peers
it's tough, man.
Especially if it's not something you're used to, right?
Of course.
That is something that probably a fair amount of people dread, right?
Absolutely.
So, and it's not just singing in front of your friends that are actors, but the whole crew and everybody and a lot of people from downstairs or upstairs that wouldn't normally be on stage come because it's fun to be around.
Yep.
And so, so it's fun to be in the audience. And then, you know.
For example, Maura, she sang, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so when she did that, how many takes did they do of that?
Well, I mean, I can just go from, you know, I did a couple different ones. I did one that was a big production number, She Blinded Me with Science, the first year.
Yeah.
You know, me and Emily did that.
Amazing.
And they had pyrotechnics. It was a big production number. And we had to do that probably one, at least pieces of it, about 10 to 15 times.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
sometimes they catch it, you know.
Sure.
And then sometimes.
We had to do pieces of it. And then you get, and then. Then they turn around to get audience reactions, too.
I know.
So that's the tough part.
Because they should get it the
right,
first time.
The first time, because those reactions are the best.
Not the 20th time, right? Exactly. Where you're like...
but then
she
I did...
We were science.
Oh, that was fun. I love that one so much. But then I did one that was more of just like a stand and sing ballad.
Yeah.
But it was about... it was me singing to Maxie because she and I had just decided to break up with Ellie and Nathan and try it again, but our hearts were really with the other people.
Yeah.
So I was singing the song to her. It was one of those ballads where everyone's just looking across the room at each other, going, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? What are you feeling? What are you feeling?
Right. So I was looking at Sonny.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't have to sing that one as many times because it was more, it was just me. There was no coverage of any explosions or anything.
Right.
So that one was maybe 5 or 6.
Wow. Cool. Good question, though.
So for that, for the audience, you know, once you're hearing for the sixth time, it's less of a novelty.
Right.
But everyone's still very supportive. You know, it's fun. It is fun being there. Especially, you know, it's just fun to see your friends do cool things.
Yeah, it's cool.
You know, and flex their talents.
Yes.
So this is a video question from Ophelia in Charlotte. She's using a Snapchat filter, so her voice sounds a little different than normal. So she asks...
My question is, did you all have a nickname when you were little? And if so, what was it?
Did we have nicknames when we were little, as children? Did you have a nickname, Steve?
No.
Really?
No.
Stevie.
Yeah, but I thought you meant like a nickname. Like,
well, like, yeah.
Like, you know, Maverick or something.
I had a pretty cool one.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Harry Potter was not out yet.
It's true. No. So, I was on. It was was it junior varsity soccer my freshman year? I think it was, or eighth grade soccer my, whatever. It was soccer somewhere between 13 and 15 at my high school. And we were playing, it was a really fun team. Like, we were all, like, it was a fun team to be on. We were all classmates. And, you know, I grew up in a town where most of us grew up together. So, it was just fun. It was a really fun year. And I played, like, middle halfback or stopper. I was in the middle of the field, and I was pretty good, believe it or not, for New Hampshire soccer in the mid-90s. So the bar was pretty low. But, so anyway, we were playing this team in a town, or the name of the school was Co-Brown, like C-O-E, last word, Brown. And so we were playing there, and I forgot what the school was called, because it's not the name of the town. It's a specific name for this regional school in this town. And so I was hearing, when we were playing, all I heard was, "Go Cobra! Go Cobra!" And I go to my friends, I go, "Someone on that team is named Cobra." And that's an amazing nickname. And for the rest of the year, people called me Cobra. And when the coach was like handing out like position assignments for the game, he's like, "And at stopper, Cobra." And I was like, "This is the coolest I will ever be."
Cobra Kai.
Cobra. That's yeah, amazing. Yeah. So, yeah.
Cobra.
So, Cobra. That's so awesome. That's like the most unlikely nickname I ever had.
Yes. Well, you know, your friends have nicknames for you sometimes, whatever.
Yeah.
Throughout whatever.
Can't remember any of those.
Nah.
No. Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Ophelia. And thank you for giving us one of the more colorful videos we've had.
Yes.
Yeah. This is from John.
My question for today is for Bradford. In your theater career, what's been your favorite musical that you've done? And what musical would you like to do in the future? Thanks a lot, guys. And have a good one.
Well, thank you, John, for your question, specifically to me.
Yes.
Really appreciate
that. Great. We have to hear you talk more.
What was
your favorite musical?
My favorite musical to do was probably The Fantastics. It's a small six-person show, and it's about a very simple human story, boy and a girl, feuding fathers, and then this guy that's kind of the narrator with he's got a little sidekick. Beautiful songs. It's just human stories. Some people have called it like the perfect musical. And I played the boy in college during the summer at a regional theater in Idaho, at Idaho Repertory Theater. And I love that show. And that was kind of, I don't know, that just artistically and just, I loved, in that show specifically, I love. Now, if I could play any role.
Did you ever do Grease?
I did. In Summerstock, I played... who did I play? Oh, Eugene, of course. I played the guy that got beat up by all the greasers. Something's never changed.
Yes, I know. Isn't it amazing?
I still get beat up by some guy in a leather jacket.
I love it. It's amazing. It's amazing. That's awesome.
That's amazing.
But that has to be a fun show, because we put it on in high school.
Oh, yeah,
and it's
sure.
Just such a great show.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's fun. You know, there's so many great shows. And
sure.
I'm just excited to, you know, hopefully get an opportunity to do more theater at some point.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Hey.
I'm ready.
I have a chance now to do Hamilton. No, I'm kidding. But my daughter wants to see it. I'm going to go take her.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she's like, can I get the soundtrack?
I would love to.
Absolutely.
You know what, John? I would love to play King George in Hamilton, because that he just gets to be this smarmy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome. And it's
kind of casting again.
It's a cameo role. Like, it's not, you know, he comes in. And, that would be super fun. So the king in Hamilton, that would be great. So... Thank you guys for the questions.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Yeah,
Jeremy joined us. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you. And, you know, this is... Getting out and seeing you guys is truly one of the greatest joys that we have.
And it is. It's so much fun. It's such a huge blessing for us. And to go out in May. Now we're going out in May.
Right.
Got May dates, July. And then we added a fan club date for the GH fan club weekend.
Right.
So for that, just go to stonecoldandjackal.com.
And click on tour dates
and
appearances.
And listen, and this is not a sales ploy.
Oh.
If you're thinking about coming to one of our shows,
yes.
Don't hesitate
yes.
to buy the ticket.
They are going faster than ever these days.
Because we have sold out a lot of this run.
Yeah.
And we haven't even really started kind of advertising for May, and we're halfway sold out for May.
Right.
So if you're interested, because sometimes it takes us a while to kind of make the loop back around the country.
Yeah.
You know, so
we're still trying to figure out, like, you know, we don't have a schedule of when we'll come, you know, so we don't know when we'll come back to some of these places.
We
always have the intention to come
back. Sure. I mean, it could be Kansas City, could be another 2 years.
Right, exactly.
You know, so.
Right, yeah.
So don't wait anyway.
Don't wait, yes.
But we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for coming out and just supporting us and the podcast and everything we do. It's amazing.
You know, Steve and I have been on the road together now for what day is it today? Friday? So about 6 days. And yeah. I still like you as much as I always
have. I love you, buddy.
Love you, buddy. So this is great.
It's amazing.
Great. All right. Thank you all. We will talk to you next week.
Yep.
Appreciate you.
All right.
Bye.
Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date. The luxury package you got after a big promotion. Or just the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car's worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in.
Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof? Watch as they bump up your value. High mileage? You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it dings your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer not available in all areas. This week on Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow, Caitlin welcomes sisters and fellow Podcast One hosts Bailey Madison and Caitlin for an episode of silliness and games like you've never heard before. Download new episodes of Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow and Just Between Us every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.